A house cleaning at the car service Uber with at least 20 employees being shown the door. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We're leading with a story about Silicon Valley culture. Uber, late yesterday, revealed it has fired 20 employees, including some unnamed high-level ones, amid an investigation into harassment, discrimination, and other inappropriate behavior. Others have been issued written reprimands, and other cases are still under review at the $70 billion company. Uber had retained a law firm to look into its culture after a former employee wrote a detailed blog about how the company didn't adequately respond after she reported a boss trying for sex. Adam Leshinsky is executive editor at Fortune magazine, who closely follows Uber.
It will take months to know if they're really making a change in their culture. It's certainly possible. They're getting rid of some people and they're bringing others in. This is a giant and compelling business that has the potential to be very successful, but it all hinges on getting their culture right and doing that quickly.
Leshinsky's new book about Uber is called Wild Ride. There's also an ongoing separate investigation into Uber's culture being led at the company's behest by former Attorney General Eric Holder. Beyond the question of whether Uber can embrace cultural change is whether people will want to work for it.
There's ample evidence that because of the company's success, because of the billions of dollars that it still has on its balance sheet, and because of the exciting prospects of its business, that it still is able to attract talent. They've just made two high-level hires, both women, by the way, and we know they're looking for at least a chief operating officer and a chief financial officer. So if they can do that, that will put those concerns to rest.
Now, Travis Kalanick, the Uber CEO, is also contending with personal tragedy right now. 11 days ago, his mother was killed and his father was injured in a boating accident. Checking the live markets here, the 100-share index in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly, just 4 points for the Dow future. One of Africa's largest economies has fallen into recession. South Africa's gross domestic product shrunk by nearly a full percent between the last quarter of 2016 and the first quarter of this year. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishor reports, a lot of the country's troubles start at the top.
South Africans don't put much faith in their own economy these days.
The overall low confidence of consumers and investors is really what is holding growth back.
Darius Yonker covers Africa for the Eurasia Group. Why are so many people so demoralized? Politics.
This really reflects the lack of confidence they have in President Jacob Zuma, with increasing scandals growing by the day.
The president has been implicated in a patronage network where, Yonker says, state-owned enterprises have effectively become money-making operations for friends and family at the expense of needed reforms. On top of this, South Africa has some very immediate economic challenges. Frank Gill is with S&P Global.
You have very, very high unemployment. It's nearly 28%.
Gill says rising commodity prices and the end of a drought have helped the South African economy. The president has not. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. For much of the week so far, the stock of Alphabet, the parent of Google, had moved above $1,000 a share, although it did fall back below that level in the last 45 minutes of trading yesterday. Amazon stock is still just above that 1,000 mark. But so what, you say? I spoke to Marketplace regular Alan Sloan, who's also a Washington Post columnist, about this. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
All right, so these stocks, $1,000, it's a round number. Is it anything more than that?
Well, it's fun.
It's fun. You like round numbers.
Sure. It's got three digits. It's fun. You see, back in the day, companies used to split their stock to keep the share price down. But you go to 1,000, there are stories about it. It's a round number, blah, 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 blah.
But to explain, why would a company, at least in the old days, split a stock?
See, back in the day, retail investors were buying. And if you say you had $1,000 or $2,000 to invest, and the stock was $600 a share, what are you going to do, buy three shares and pay a commission? But if the stock was $30 or $20, you could get a nice round number of shares. Economically, it didn't make any difference, but psychologically, it was a big deal.
But now, it's not the era of individuals buying these things. It's big institutions buying en masse.
And also individuals buying index funds. And the index fund doesn't care if Apple is 145 or 1,100, which it would be if it hadn't split a few years ago. But it would back in the day, it mattered to people. Now, if only briefly, it doesn't matter. So you have this sort of arms race and contest. But we can't let this go without mentioning the granddaddy of the big stock number. And who do you think that is?
Yeah, that's got to be connected to Warren Buffett, if you're talking about granddaddy of them all.
Right. This is a guy who in 50-something years has never split what are now known as the A shares of Berkshire Hathaway, and they're something like $245,000, which even in these inflationary times is a lot of money.
Let me just stop there. The Berkshire A is, to remind people, worth about $250,000 each.
Right, and a Berkshire B, well, that's 1/1500th of a Berkshire A because Buffett split it a few years ago to be able to buy a railroad, so I own that. Now, if I owned the same number of A's as I own of B's, I'd actually be a patron of this operation, and I wouldn't be on the air. I would be telling other people what to do.
I got neither of them. Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
You know, he said these inflationary times, actually, we probably have to retire that expression, right? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.